Open your Bibles now, please, to the book of Colossians, the fourth chapter. Colossians chapter 4 in your Schofield Bible, page 1265. And beginning with verse 7, we'll read through verse 15. And we'll read the verses, as usual, responsively. And after we read these verses, I have another passage to which I'll turn, and I myself will read two or three verses from there. Let's stand, please, for the reading of this passage. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all the things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son, to Barnabas, touching whom ye receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas, salute. And verse 15 together, ready? Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea, and Nymphas, and the church which is in thine house. Okay, and I'll be reading from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 19 through 21. Salute Prissa and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Prudence, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. And let's pray. Thank you, dear Father, for this great day, for this great crowd. Thank you for our church, our preacher. Thou hast been gracious through these years. Give us of thy strength, thy mercy, thy blessing on this day. And dear Holy Spirit, please meet with us in thy power. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts this morning. Give us what we need. So many are in need. Sanctify these moments as we think of this little passage of Scripture, where the Apostle Paul mentioned so many people that were not known, but because they were faithful to the cause of Christ, they were listed in the Word of God forever. Bless us now. Amen. David Livingston was about to embark on a mission into the jungles of Africa. David Livingston, perhaps one of the three most famous missionaries in all of history, not only a missionary, but an explorer, a man that did more for Africa, even apart from the cause of Christ, than anybody, I guess. He it was who, when it came time for him, when he died, he died and they took his body. The English government wanted to bury him in Westminster Abbey. The black people from Africa came to the Prime Minister of England and said, let us bury him in Africa. And the English government said, no, he belongs to England. He must be buried with kings in Westminster Abbey. They said, please, he lived his life with black people in Africa. Please, let us bury David Livingstone in Africa. The English government said, no, we cannot do that. He must be buried in Westminster Abbey. The black people of Africa, look right this way, please. I want to speak to all of you. The black people said, all right, if we cannot bury his body in Africa, could we bury his heart in Africa? His heart was with the black people. If you bury his, please look at me and put your pen down, please. I want to preach to you this morning. I already asked you once, and I'll ask you again to have to. The tops of heads are not very pretty, especially mine. But they said to David Livingstone, let us have his heart to bury in Africa. They took the heart of David Livingstone, I mean the muscle, out of his body. And today the body of David Livingstone is buried in Westminster Abbey. His heart is buried in the jungles of Africa. When David Livingstone went on a certain mission into the jungles of Africa, his wife became ill just before he left. He went alone, was gone for a long time. I mean months and months and months. Scandalous rumors were spread about David Livingstone. David Livingstone was the object of horrible gossip and rumors. What did David Livingstone do? Of course he fought for the truth of his character. But he kept on going. He kept on winning black people. He kept on trying to save, and in more ways than one, the nation of Africa. Ma Sunday told me one day, Mrs. Billy Sunday, she outlived Billy by 30 or 40 years, and she lived almost to 100, and she told me one day, she said, Brother Hiles, awful, awful rumors got spread about my husband. I said, well, how did it affect him? She said, well, at one time he almost thought about quitting. But he said, Ma, I'm a preacher. I've got to preach. And she said he kept on going, serving God, winning folks to Christ. I was in the Dallas-Fort Worth airport several years ago. Two preachers came to me in my room, and they said, Brother Hiles, did you know that Lester Olof was found in bed with a young girl? I said, you're liars. You're liars. Either you get out of the room or I'm getting out of the room. Lester, what did Lester Olof do? Listen to me. What did Lester Olof do? He fought the rumors, of course, and won the battle. But he kept on trying to help fallen girls and fallen men and in his cities of refuge. He kept on going. He had to. Paul said, a messenger of Satan was sent to buffet me. In prison, Paul said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. Yet in his own heartbreak, in jail, in prison, he never forgot those whom he loved. He never forgot them. You read Colossians 4, 7 through 15, 2 Timothy 4, 19 through 21, Philemon 22 through 25, all of those prison epistles, every one written not from a jail cell like we have today, but every one written from that awful, awful dungeon of a jail, down under the ground in the inner cell of the Mamertine prison in Rome. But he called off the names of the people and their burdens and never forgot their own burdens. Let me say this morning. I want you to hear me very, very carefully. Of course I hurt. Mrs. Hiles hurts. My family hurts. But I have not let myself forget that many of you hurt more than I do. I still hurt with you. Brother Roush is still not well. Chairman of our deacon board for 30 years, one of the finest men that God ever gave breath to breathe. Thank God when he had to step aside because of health, we had another man, one of the finest men in the world, to take his place, Brother Ray Bordway. But Brother Roush hurts today. I must not let my hurt forget, make me forget that he hurts. Brother Mel Graves, assistant chairman of our board for many, many years, another great man ever since the Word has had to step aside because his health has failed him. Both of the men up in years, their 70s. I must not forget, and you must not forget, that Mel Graves hurts today. In spite of my hurts, Ken Smith still can't walk. Ray Newton still has cancer. Robin Moore is still in a wheelchair with three little children to rear. She can never get out because of multiple sclerosis. We must not forget that Pat Cunningham still has multiple sclerosis, 30 years of age. We don't know what the future holds. She's single. What the future holds for her. It may be a wheelchair with nobody to push it. Want to bet? If I have to push it myself, I'll push it. But we must not forget. The blind people still cannot see. They must not be forgotten. The deaf people still cannot hear. They must not be forgotten. We must not let the news of the day and the battle that we're facing in, we must not let it cause us to forget. The educable slow, the special people, are still educable slow. Their parents still have the heartache they always had. We must not forget. We must not forget that the mission men are still homeless. One of the tenderest moments of this week was when I came to work one morning. I walked inside the door of the education building, and one of the mission men had a little poster mission men had made. The mission men love you and are behind you. And all the mission men had signed it. We must not forget they're still homeless. We must not forget that the shut-ins are still lonely. Al and Jackie Gomez still have an adult daughter who's retarded. And very much so. So do Bob and Irene Houston. We must not forget, in all the things that are on our minds, we must not forget that bus kids still live in the ghettos, in hell. We must not forget that David Depper still has cerebral palsy. We must not forget that our young people are still graduating. And I prayed, oh God, help our minds in our commencement exercises to be on our kids. We must not forget that Mrs. Richards still fighting courageously cancer. What I'm saying is this, and I want everybody to hear me carefully. Of course, I need you now. But the needs of others go right on. Let's not forget them. I want to say another thing, and this is the basis of my message this morning. I need you. But to live, I must also feel needed. Don't let me stop being your pastor. I'm not talking about your firing me. I'm saying, don't look, you got burdens. Keep coming to me. That's what I'm here for. That's what we're fighting for. You got heartaches. I need to help you. I'll die if I can't help you. For 30 years I've lived, and God knows this is true. For 30 years I've lived for you. I don't have anything much. The reporters of the Hammond Times find it hard to believe all the things I've given away. I'm saying, keep coming to me. I'm still counseling. Thursday night, I was still here till 10 o'clock or after. I'm still trying to carry your burdens too. I cannot live and not carry your burdens. That's the thing I eat and sleep and breathe for. Please, let me be your pastor. Let me show you what I mean. I want David Depper to come out, if he would, please. One of the best buddies I've got in this church. Linda and Steve, his mom and dad, two of the dearest people. It's cerebral palsy, isn't it? I want you to meet one of my best friends this morning. I want to show you something, too. I want to show you what a courageous fellow he is. Look at that. Watch it. Yeah.
What's it?
That's what he does every Sunday. When I walk out of here every Sunday, he's in that room right there. And he hugs me. He hugs me like this. Watch this.
Oh! Oh!
Then I put him up here. I want to help you see. He's always standing up like that. And for a long time, he wouldn't jump. But you watch this. Ready? Come on. Come on. Come on. Ah! He got my glasses all messed up. Does every week, by the way. When Linda was a girl, and I won't embarrass you, Linda. When Linda was a teenage girl, she had a real problem. Her mom and dad were worried and concerned about her. And Brother Hiles went to see her. And everything got all right. You see, that's what I live for. To see the teenage girls. Hush. And that's what it's all about. And now a lovely wife with a family. I've got... Thank you very much. God bless you. Thank you so much. I mean, there's some teenagers now that are having trouble. And I've got to help them. I've got to help. Don't let me stop helping them. I mean, I've got to do it. I've got to do that to live. I can't live without that. I want to, out yonder 15 years from now, I want to see some Linda, used to be Linda Plopper. I want to see some girls I'm helping now to stay out of trouble. I want to see them happily married and good Christian moms and wives. I want the Striegel family to come up, if you would, please. I want to show you what happens every Sunday morning at my door. I want this microphone right here, please. Every Sunday morning at my door, these two little girls, they don't come up by themselves first, would you please? They come to my door every Sunday morning and they do exactly what they're going to do right now. Look at who's here. My girls. Oh, aren't you sweet? Thank you. You forgot something. That's mine now, isn't it? All right. And thank you very, very much. What?
I love you.
I love you too. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Now, by the way, this was not rehearsed. Doesn't have to be rehearsed if you love somebody. Could I say this? You can go back to Mom and Daddy. But now while Mom and Daddy are standing there with the children, you'd have to be a pastor to understand what I'm going to say right now. This precious couple, they're human like everybody else. They need a preacher. And they came to me some time ago having a little marital problem. And I worked with them. And they're back together. That's what it's all about. You can't buy that. Thank you so much. God bless you. You see, I got to keep doing that. That's what I live for. Sure, I want you to defend me. I want you to, I'll say tonight, I want you to learn the words, shut up. And I want you to learn the words that you're a liar. I want you to learn those words. But don't get so wrapped up defending me and in a battle that you don't let me do what I'm trying to fight to get the privilege of keep on doing. I want the Guzmans to come up, please. Every Sunday night when I walk out that door right there, either Mrs. Guzman or Mr. Guzman or both of them and the family are waiting out there for me. They're waiting out there with a snack. I mean, usually a sack full of stuff. Banana, cake, cookies, usually two or three different things. They're waiting out there. And they tell me they love me. The boy, the children, everybody, they all tell me they love me. Oh, I didn't know you were going to bring one this morning. I love you. And they're there. But now, wait a minute. They just had a problem with the IRS. They are having a problem with the IRS. They did not know it.
They did not realize. All of a sudden, they found out they had to have almost $7,000, over $6,000. They don't have $6,000. They don't have $1,000. They don't have $100. I know. I checked their offering envelope. Where are they going to go? Who's going to help them? You know. I'm signing their note at the bank. I'm co-signing with them. I used to say this. I'll have 200 folks outside my door when I get through. I'm simply saying, I got to do it. I can't live without this. I can live without a salary, but I can't live without this. Thank you, folks. God bless you. I love you. Thank you. Adrian Hilliard, would you come up with your girls, please? I want to show you the joy of being a preacher. I'm just choosing typical examples. There are folks all over this building the same way. How long ago was it, Adrian, when you were left alone? What? The girls were 2 and 3 years old. Her husband left her for a 14-year-old girl out in the state of Washington, wasn't it? I've asked her if I could tell this. I asked the Strigles if I could tell that. Her husband left her. She's on my staff. He left her, divorced her. This is the thing I've been criticized for loving people that have innocent, helpless people. She called me from Washington. I think I financed your trip back here, didn't I? Sent her money to get back here. Kept them fed. Gave her a job, and I'm proud I did. Proud I did. I'd rather have one like her than 1,000 of the Pharisees that are too good to try to help somebody who's been jilted like that. Every time report cards come out, the girls have no daddy. They come to my office. I'm their father figure, image. They come to my office and show me the report cards. And by the way, they're tremendous report cards. Adrian's a lousy worker, but the kids are tremendous. I mean, you understand it. Oh, by the way, I also gave her a car, in case you'd like to know that. That little red car she drives, I gave it to her. Yeah. I can't live without that. That's a life. For 42 years, that's what I've done. Let me do it. Let me keep on. I'm not asking let me keep my job. But I'm simply saying don't pull back from me personally now. Don't withdraw and think I've got too many burdens to carry yours. Your burden's what I want to carry. And the biggest burden I could ever have is if you don't let me carry your burdens. Thank you, Adrian, girls. God bless you. I want Pat Cunningham to come up, please. That's in the choir. Miss Belson, come with her, would you please? I pray for Pat every day. Pat's she's the petite one. No, she's the less petite one. The least petite of the two petites. But anyway, Pat has multiple sclerosis. She doesn't know what her future holds. Well, she's on my staff. Adrian's on my staff. Pat's on my staff. They weren't always on my staff. Pat came to the area. Nobody much cared about her. Had no place to live. She and Miss Belson. Miss Belson's one of our teachers at our schools. Had no place to live. I sort of kept them going. I want to enter times, Miss Belson. I've had to sort of bail you out financially a little bit. All the money I make on my trips, I get paid everywhere I speak. I get a love offering. Every dime that I get, I give away. Every dime that I get, I give it away. People like this. Oh, by the way, they had no place to live. I'm not ashamed of it. I bought them a mobile home. Myself. Bought it for them. Gave it to them. Not rent it, gave it to them.
You say, what are you saying? I'm saying, I want to be your pastor. I don't mean just the job and hold my position and get my salary, which is, by the way, a little over $18,000 a year. Jerry Falwell's is $100,000 a year. Our church is bigger than his. Bunch of tightwad deacons we got around here. Thank you very much. The other day, I bought me a car. Glenn Gibson, one of our college men, security guards in his senior year. I'll tell you something amazing about Glenn Gibson tonight. But Glenn Gibson couldn't stay in college. He had an old 74 Torino Ford. Noah drove it off the ark. Pushed it off the ark, yeah. And he had to have $700 in order to stay in school. He tried to sell the old Ford. He had another car. Tried to sell the old Ford Torino, 1974, for $700. Biggest offer he got was $300. He couldn't get over $300 for it. And whoever offered him that was crazy. He said, Preacher, I'm going to have to drop out of school. Please pray for me. He said, could you pray that I could sell that car for $700? I wouldn't even pray. I said, Lynn, I'll buy it from you for $700. He couldn't believe it. I bought the car for $700. Kept it out here in the lot, and finally I got it where it drives. And it was in my name, title in my name. First time I've had a car title in my name. I haven't owned a car in years. Years. I was so proud of that. Don't know why. I owned a car. What's the couple's name? The fellow had a wreck the other day. Giffen, yeah. First name? Don Giffen, yeah. Had a wreck the other day. Wrecked his car just a few days before. He couldn't pay his insurance premium and had no insurance on his car. He's in the hospital. She had nothing to drive. She came by last night. I only owned a car about 3 weeks, and I was so proud of it. I wish she had never come by. I tossed her the keys, said to Keith McKinney, have the title changed. I want John Bruick to come up, please. I'm just saying, let me keep doing what I've been doing. I'm just simply saying, if you let me know, let me pastor you. John Bruick represents the Bruick family. His dad was a missionary for years on a foreign field. He came back home because of ill health and came to our church. He got cancer. He used to go and lay down. Couldn't walk. He came to church as long as he could sit up, but he couldn't even sit up. He kept crawling here on his hands and knees and lay down. Listen to me on this PA, a speaker in this choir ready room here. His dad did. How long ago did he go to heaven, John? 12 years ago, he went to heaven. I made a vow to God I'd take care of the tuition for his family and school the rest of their lives. I've been their pastor. They needed me. I've got to be needed. I've got to be needed or I die. They needed me. You couldn't tell you how proud I am of this man right here this morning. And his brothers, his family, his dear mother. God bless you, John. Thank you very much. Bring me your weak. Bring me your fallen. Bring me your bereaved. Bring me your educable slow. Bring me your blind. Bring me your deaf. Bring me your teenagers that are wayward. Bring me your broken marriage. Bring me your broken home. Let me feel needed. Wilbur? Where's Wilbur? He doesn't know I'm going to come up here, Wilbur. today, Wilbur. I'm the genius, he said. You're smarter than I thought you were, you know.
I am smart for everybody.
You're smart for everybody. Wilbur stands right out that door over there every Sunday when I walk in and hugs me. I expect he's the one that hugged the mayor this morning, too.
Yes, I did. Tom McDermott.
Tom McDermott. Yeah, God bless you.
He's the one that gave me a hat, too.
He gave you a hat. Okay. I'm simply saying...
I'm going to thank the Lord that I love Brother Hiles most. He's half my brother.
Half your brother. Watch it there now, fella.
Get out of here.
We got enough going on here. Get out of here. That's what First Baptist Church is all about. I want all of my pathfinders to stand up this morning. My educable slow. All of them to stand up this morning. Thank you. Be seated. Thank you. That's what it's all about. Thank you. I watched the graduation Friday night. And then I walked up to the nursery and remembered when I used to walk by that nursery and those seniors that sat down here used to wave at me. I remember when many of them used to come by my office and hug me when they were 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 years old. I looked in the nursery and I said, God, let me live long enough to see another group grow up. Something very sweet this morning and sad happened. This young lady in our church, she's been coming by my office to hug me ever since she was that high. She's just a little too big to hug now. She's didn't understand why she couldn't keep on hugging Brother Hiles. But I talked to her mother, and I told her, I said, I'm sorry, but I don't know how to do this. But I said, I don't want to stop it. But I just don't feel like she's, this has been weeks ago, several months ago. I said, as soon as school's out this year and she graduates from grade school or something, I said, you're going to have to tell her she can't hug the preacher anymore. Well, it's out now. School's out. This morning I walked over and she was there. He stopped to shake my hand. I watched the City Baptist kids as they graduated Saturday morning. I'm talking about the Chicago ghetto kids that the social programs talk about loving. They don't love the kids. They love a program. They're not concerned about the kids. Some of those social program people, liberals, they'll advise those teenagers to go out and have an affair and be normal. That's wicked. But I watch those bus kids at their commencement. And I kept thinking over and over again, if I don't stay going, this is the last commencement they'll have. It's the last one. I watched the junior high kids last night. Ask God to bless them. What a wonderful bunch. Brother Treber, our speaker, said, I've never seen clearer countenances on kids as I've seen the last 2 days at your kids in high school and junior high school. I drove around the college the other day and realized if I don't keep going, the old doors are closed to the college. I realized that the enemy is not trying to destroy me alone. The enemy is trying to destroy Hiles Anderson College, First Baptist Church of Hammond. Sure, I'm tired. Sure, I'm hurt. Sure, I ache. And sure, I'm getting old. But I'll do everything within my power to keep the enemy destroying everything that we've got here in this place. Everything in my power. I'm in this thing to stay. I'm not going to back out. I'm not going to back down. I'm going to let the enemy choose the weapons, and I'll use the same weapon he uses. And God knows I'm not doing it for myself. I've been attacked for years, and as long as the attack was on me, and as long as a personal attack, then I never said a word. I've walked in this pulpit with a broken heart time and time and time again, never said a word. But they started attacking my wife and my family and my staff and my people and my school, and they've set out to destroy everything that God has given us here. They're in for the fight of their lives. But while the fight's going on, I ask you, please, keep meeting me. Keep coming to me with your problems, your burdens, and your needs. I am your pastor, and I have no concern about not being that. None at all. I couldn't ask for more loyal people in the whole world. I have no problem there. But don't forget, keep needing me. And let me be your preacher. To those of you here this morning who never have received Christ, I'm sorry we have to take time like this. But may I tell you, you're really what it's all about. The purpose of it is to keep a soul-saving institution here. Can keep throwing out the gospel so you can come to Christ and receive Him. And to receive Him is to receive eternal life. You're here this morning. God loves you with all of His heart. God has made it possible where you can go to heaven to live forever. I hope this morning that you'll see through the battle and see the Christ we defend and love and preach here in this place. If you've never received Him as your Savior, you can go to heaven if you want to. He's made it possible. We'll tell you how. All you'll have to do is in just a few moments when the choir begins to sing and we stand, you just walk down these aisles. There'll be somebody at the end of each aisle, one of our men at the end of each aisle. You tell them that you'd like to receive Christ, to know that you're going to heaven when you die, and they'll show you, or have someone show you the greatest news you ever heard in your life. I believe there are people here this morning who've been saved already but have not yet walked an aisle and made it public. I beg for you to come. I also believe there are people here this morning who in the last few weeks have grown to admire the First Baptist Church of Hammond. We probably had more people join our church by transfer membership last Sunday than we've had any Sunday in the last 6 months. I think there are people that admire a church that is worthy of attack. And a church that will stand together in the midst of the attack. Maybe you'd like to make this your church home. We invite you to do so. But by all means, the great purpose of all of it is to get people to go to heaven when they die. If you don't know that you're saved, when we stand and sing, I ask you to come. Shall we stand? The choir will sing. Would you come toward the aisle, down the aisle to the front? Let us share with you the good news of Christ. Do it now as the choir sings, please.